Dear Heavenly God, as your word has been sung, and now as we read your word and break it open, quiet our hearts. Give us just a few moments of silence so that we may hear what you have to say to us today, and then work this week to live it out. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Our scripture is from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 8, the first 7 verses. Let's hear the word of God. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus, that as he has already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I just read our passage from chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, I know some of you thought, uh-oh, here comes another, the semi-annual, actually, plea for money. It's already July, so it's time to give that little stewardship push. Well, you'd be wrong if you thought that. Wrong in a manner of speaking, actually. As I have preached and taught continually, as our Operations Commission emphasized last year during our official stewardship campaign, generous and joyful giving is not just about money. It is about every aspect of our lives, our hearts, our worship. It is giving generously to the Lord. That's our story, our generous giving to the Lord. We follow Jesus' demand to give with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength. Following Jesus cheerfully and generously giving all that I am without one plea. Following Jesus is the major investment in our lives. Following Jesus as our Lord and Savior demands our personal investment with everything we have. And what is the reward for the joyful giving of ourselves? More responsibility, more investment. God doesn't say to us, oh, you've given so much. Now you can sit back on your laurels and relax. God gives you more responsibility. God expects more of an investment, which means that if we as a congregation have lived loving lives, if we've grown spiritually, if we have a great place to fellowship in, we do. We have a great place to worship. We've done mission to each other, to our neighborhood, all over the world. God isn't going to say, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. Now sit back and relax. You're done. Enjoy. C.S. Lewis put it in his mid-20th century English phrasing so well. He says, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time or so much of your money or so much of your work. I want you, Christ says to us. I want you. No half measures are any good. Hand over your whole self, the whole outfit. My wife Kim told me a story that she visited with a retired pastor from the Reformed Church in America. And he related a story that one year their church board, their classes, whatever, their church board, They were cleansing the rolls. Isn't that a horrible word, cleansing the rolls? Well, they were trying to get their rolls where they needed to be. So they would contact people and say, you know, we'd love to continue to have you on our active roll. Please be a part of our worshiping congregation. You know, if they've moved away or if they've chosen not to be with them anymore, they put them on the inactive list. And if you need help, much like we do, if you need help finding a church home, or we're glad that you have found a church home, or would you like to come back into our church, you're always welcome. So they were doing this, they were doing the roles thing, and there was one couple who had never attended the church in the whole time the pastor had served at the church. They'd been put on the inactive roll years before, but the church was looking then maybe to take them completely off the rolls. So the pastor visited with them, and he was sitting in their dining room, and they said, you know, Pastor, we have no trouble being on the inactive roll. And they understood that they had not been part of the congregation, and they had no intention of being part of the worshiping or ministering congregation in the future. Then the pastor said, though, that's fine. You know, that's good. Then we will drop you from our rolls. And the husband said in a panic, please don't do that. We need to have our names on the rolls, even if inactive, or we won't go to heaven. Yeah, and he was serious. The man believed that he was secure in his salvation if his name was on a list in a musty book in the Reformed Church office. There was no responsibility, no investment, and no risk. He believed all God demanded was that at some point we sign our name on the dotted line and forget about it. I don't think so. The scriptures don't think so. I'm going to tell you a story written by Pastor Michael Lindvall. Michael Lindvall is one of the very best Christian writers in the world. You probably never heard of him because he's a pastor. He's a full-time pastor at the Brick Presbyterian Church in Manhattan. And so he doesn't have time to write and to seek publishers and do all that. Thankfully, though, every so often, a new work by Michael Lindvall comes out. And the story I'm about to share, he's writing about life on the New York subway. He says, I carry a yellow card. I ride the subway all the time. It's the fastest and cheapest way to get around the city. And it affords strap hangers like me an eye-popping panorama of the endless variety of the parade of humanity that is New York City, and has given him much grist for his sermon mill. He says, creative panhandling on the subway is a way of life. There's an elderly gentleman who plays a plastic electronic cello at the southbound 86th Street stop at Lexington, and he does a mean riff on Schubert's Ave Maria. So Lindvall always drops him a dollar. He said then a few weeks ago, he was on the northbound train heading somewhere, and these five ominous-looking guys in their 20s walk in from the car behind and ask people to move aside. And then one of the guys dropped a boombox on the floor and started it up, and they did this great breakdancing, tumbling routine. And then afterwards, one of the backward hats came off, and they passed the hat, and Lindvall said he was very glad to be there to give him a couple of bucks. He says, but the most interesting story that he had ever heard came from one of their interns at Brick Church. She said they were on the subway. She was riding the W train in the middle of a hot, humid summer day. Now, the W trains are the old 1970s orange subways trains that you always see on TV. And they're hot, and they're smelly, and they're just really bad. And the intern was in no mood to hear from a panhandler. She had a heavy tote bag of books and sketchbooks and snacks and everything else. And then suddenly a voice said, ladies and gentlemen, would you mind if I took just a moment of your time? And nobody wanted to hear about it. It was too hot, too smelly to hear about another poor me tale of a person without a job, or another tale of that rent is past due and they need a couple of bucks, or you know, if I could just have $2 to get a bagel. No one wanted to hear that. But the whole car startled to attention when a dark-skinned young man said, ladies and gentlemen, would you mind if I passed out copies of my resume? I don't have a job, but I have a lot to offer. I have a lot to offer, and I'm hoping that you might be able to put me in touch with somebody who has what I need, what I can give. I mean, can you put me in touch with somebody who has what I can give? The intern said that almost everybody in the car took a copy of his dossier. Linval continues, I just recently read an article about extensive research by a group of church consultants done with congregations all over the country. Some of the congregations they studied were growing and some were shrinking. The research report said that there was one constant fact that showed the difference between growing churches and shrinking ones. And it wasn't whether they had liberal or conservative theology. It wasn't whether they had contemporary or traditional worship style. It wasn't even their geographic location. Constantly, the report said that those churches that were thriving operated out of what they called the mindset of abundance. We have a lot to offer. We have something here. Rich or poor, conservative or liberal, praise or traditional, hymn book or screen, it doesn't matter. By the grace of God, we have everything that we need to be church, and we want to share it. On the other hand, the congregations that are shrinking typically operated out of what the researchers called the mindset of scarcity. We just don't have quite enough to go around. We don't have many resources to offer. We won't be able to do a lot until somebody gives us what we need. Linval concludes by saying, it's no wonder everyone smiled at the guy in the subway and took his dossier. No wonder they responded to his little talk about what he had to offer. Sometimes we in church tend to focus on what we don't have. It's the mindset of scarcity. We don't have enough people in worship. We don't have enough young families. They're the future of the church. We don't have many people from our neighborhood. Well, you must be doing something wrong. We keep losing members. How are we ever going to pay our bills? If we don't get more people in the doors, we're going to have to close the doors. Now, I'm not picking on us as Covenant Church. I've heard these and many statements just like them from every church I've ever sat into. I've said, you know, I've served like 18 different churches, and every time I've heard pastors and elders and church members, myself, saying the same thing. We don't have enough. Now, the problem with those statements is that they're an absolute lie. The problem is that we focus on what we don't have, that mindset of scarcity, and they're a lie. Who wants to come to a place that focuses on what we aren't? Who wants to come to a place where I can see you as a bottom that's going to fill a chair? Who wants to come to a place that's, oh, good, you're here, you can help us pay our bills? None of us have any interest in being in such a place. Focus instead on the mindset of abundance. Look at what we have. Look at what we have. The Word of God, the living God, is right here. We have the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the knowledge that the God of the universe is right here. Is right here. We have the Holy Spirit with us no matter what we face in life. We have wonderful worship. Not perfect. Who's perfect? We have wonderful Holy Spirit-filled worship. We have fabulous fellowship. I can't even get you in worship, you're fellowshipping. We have caring, nurturing Christian community. We have a caring church family. We have a people who love our children and children who love being here. I can't tell you how much it does my heart good. I'm honest. When I was the kid's age, when little age, church was a chore. I was pouty from the time we left the house till we got home. Didn't talk to anybody, sat underneath the pew. I wasn't doing it. It wasn't doing anything for me. And then the pastor, whom we called Moneybags McIntyre because he was always preaching money, would just scowl at us as kids. It does my heart good when the kids are here enjoying, when they like being here, when your girls say, oh, is it church day yet? Oh, boy. That's who we are. We are forever people looking outward. Abundance, abundant life, building bridges to each other, our kids, our adults, our older folks, building bridges to our community, building bridges all the way around the world to the living water that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. And we could go on and on all morning. As the people right here at Parliament in Lexington, we have a lot to offer. We have a lot to offer our neighbors. We have a lot to offer your coworkers. We have a lot to offer our community. We have a lot to offer the world. We have everything right here that we need to be church and have it in abundance. We have abundant life. And when we live like abundant life, others want to be a part of it. If we walk around like Eeyore, nobody wants to be a part of that. But when we live into abundant life joyfully, that's who we are. That is the mindset of abundance.